I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
This yesterday because, this is recording now, because
we only have 120 minutes.
Rayla was like saying different words that were related to soccer, and she was just like kicking, balls, referees, you know, the way that you do.
Yes.
And I was thinking that if I mean, at this point, we're probably going to be back in St. Louis. We need a new intro.
My God. Yeah, we do.
Because we won't be across the country anymore. So I was just thinking about that yesterday. We have to have a whole new intro.
That's hilarious. Oh, maybe this should be the point where we incorporate more Pretty Little Liars into the or some
it's
of our
time.
Other or some of our other interests.
It's time.
How many niche podcasts could we do? Sad Girl Music, first of all.
We'd fucking crush that one.
Oh my God. The Boy Genius stuff, that content is just so good.
Yesterday we were in the car going to the AZMTO thing that Steven does.
Yeah.
And we were getting dinner first. And on the way, I was like, I make a playlist for every month of songs that I've been listening to. And the first song that started playing was a Boy Genius song from the record. And I bought tickets to see them here.
Yes.
And but Z doesn't know anything about Boy Genius.
That tracks.
Yeah. Z is just going to come. And I was like, this is a Boy Genius song. We're going to have to listen to all of it so that you know what you're walking into. So you know the brand of sad girl music that you are walking into.
And they were like, why do I want to be this depressed? I could just be listening to opera.
To be fair, none of it makes me – like, I don't feel – anyway, I don't feel the sad, but it's just good music.
Yeah, because I think other people might feel the sad. I think that's just what we like.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just like – it's like a singer-songwriter vibe that we really like. And then other people are, like, crying.
They're like, what – are you listening to the lyrics? And we're like, yeah, I feel those things.
That happened with my coworker. I was listening to Noah Kahan, Stick Season.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
The Way You Do. And I was – my coworker, we were talking about music, and I was like, oh, this is what I'm listening to. And I, like, played some of it for her, and she's like, Anna, this is really sad. And I was like, yeah, like, I know. And she, like, was listening to another song, and she, like, started crying. She's like, no, Anna, this is really sad.
But it's so good.
This is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, as you know, I did buy Noah Kahan tickets.
We're going.
In the idea that you would be living in St. Louis at the time. So
we're going.
It's happening.
Even if for some reason we don't end up in St. Louis, I'm coming to St. Louis in October. We're going.
We're going to the concert.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to the pod.
Where we are now talking about other things besides soccer.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
These are our personal hat picks.
Oh, that would be funny. Oh, yeah. Anthony did have – oh, my God. We have so much to talk about. Okay. So this episode is just the tips because, as you know, if you've been keeping up with us, which I guess you probably haven't, we haven't done a pod in like a month and a half, but it's been a busy month and a half all around.
Jillian went to Costa Rica.
I did go to Costa Rica, and it was amazing. It was so good. Z, Anna's spouse, defended their dissertation.
And they are a doctor.
We have a new roof. This room is ours again.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's a lot has happened.
Everything is happening.
In life. So we're doing tips. We're doing tips. We're doing just rapid fire tips.
We're just trying our best, okay?
Yes. And then we will have a surprise special guest, which is not really a surprise.
It will be to you eventually.
Yeah. I mean, Anthony will be joining. I don't want to – I know I'm not going to be able to keep it in the whole episode, so I'm just going to say it now. It was a surprise for 3 seconds. Yes. So – but what we'll be talking about will be more of a surprise. Anyway, okay. So glad that we're here. Just two dope ladies talking about soccer.
soon not across the country.
On the podcast that no one asked for. Just cut it out.
Yeah.
We'll just chop it.
Still tracks.
We'll get Miranda to make some new music for us. Oh, we should get like a sad intro music instead of the like fun.
Yeah, like the super like rad music that she found. Yes. Something. Like,
The music that is much cooler than we or this podcast are.
Are or will ever be.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. So as mentioned, just tips, just tiny things. We're not doing anything major today. Just giving you the highlights from the last month and a half, because a lot has happened in our lives and in the lives of those who play women's soccer. So, first of all, very exciting. HBO documentary series about Angel City is coming out in May. I think Natalie Portman is narrating.
That does track. She's really proud of that team. And I love that for her.
I do too. Amazing.
Next, these are rapid fire. We are generally just like going through them, which will make up for the fact that we talked about sad music for the first 5 minutes of this recording. Next, Adidas kits for the World Cup are dope as hell, which are significantly better than whatever Nike has put together. It is genuinely embarrassing what they have done.
Yeah, I saw the Adidas kits and I was like, oh my gosh, does this mean that the U.S. Women's National Team are also going to have Adidas kits and they are also going to be cool? And the answer is no. They decided to be like a poor man's Jackson Pollock.
Boy, howdy.
On the jerseys. And on the topic of kits, this is not a tip. It's just an aside. I don't know what was up with the NWSL this season when they were deciding on their jerseys. But they were like, here, look at the most boring uniforms we could possibly think of, except for Portland, who went full Ed Hardy with like a chest tattoo thing on their kits.
Yeah, they're bad. Like, at first I was like, oh, I guess it's something new and different. And then I looked at it just like for 2 seconds more and I was like, no, I hate it. And then now it's like a few games in. I'm like, no, now I really hate it.
It's like, I like it better with the shorts. I like the green shorts a lot.
The green shorts are great.
Love that. It's just, it's not my style. But I mean, I do have to give them credit for going for it. Because honestly, it's better than the other stuff, which is just like, they took a plain t-shirt and just put the logo on it.
Yeah, I mean, the Dash Estrella kit makes me a level of irate that I cannot fully express. Because like, they have the full opportunity to do like the orange with some cool stars, like lean into Lone Star State. Literally. And so when I first saw that it was the Estrella kit, I was like, oh, cool. Stars. And it's just like
– and also space.
Yeah. But instead, it's just kind of – so you've got some lines on it or something. I don't.
So anyway, Adidas, great job.
Especially like Nigeria will continue to have the best kits in the entire world.
God. Hands down. Like, I showed my hands. I don't know why.
The best kits.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, next. NWSL signings. Sinead Fairley has signed with Gotham for 2023. An incredible – don't call it a comeback
yes,
for her. And she also recently played with the Scottish national team, Irish national team. I know where we are. Irish national team. Everything's going really well.
Yes. Stay cozy.
It's my mug. I got it for $5 at Michael's. Anyway, next signing, Amandine Henri is going to be signing with Angel City, at least according to rumors. I don't know if it actually has happened yet, but that's good enough for me. And then Adriana Leon is on loan to Portland through the end of June. I think until like the beginning of the World Cup, she is on loan with Portland from Man United.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
They were like, Janine Becky's out, so we got to get another Canadian.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Well, in addition, Julie Ertz is back, baby, after having her baby. Not only with U.S. Women's National Team, but also she has signed with Angel City, which I think we all expected.
Yeah.
Speaking of babies and bibbies, there is, you know, we keep talking about all these little tiny bibbies signing and they keep getting younger. Soon there will just be a fetus on the field. Melanie Barceños.
I think so.
Signed with the San Diego Wave at 15 years old. With a mere 138 days tacked on to that. My God.
At what point does this become like very odd child labor? Like they're getting very young.
Yeah. And they're just like, we don't care. They're so good. Their tiny feet can kick the ball.
Even the NBA doesn't do this.
Well, it's all because Olivia Moultrie was like, bitch, I'm suing. I am good.
Yeah.
Anyway. Next tip. The Kansas City versus Portland match that happened at the beginning of April had 475,000 viewers, which means that it is the most watched regular season NWSL game to date, which is pretty dope.
It is rad as hell. Speaking of other dope things, I had something, and as soon as I started reading, it left my brain. So anyway, Michelle Kang owns all of football. Like, so for those of you who don't know, which is probably most of you because who keeps track of this besides us, Michelle Kang is the owner, the main owner of the Washington Spirit. And L'Equipe is selling OL Reign. There was speculation that they were going to be selling all of OL, but it seems that it is just OL Reign. And Michelle Kang is set to buy and take over majority ownership of the club. So she will be owning and running two different teams in the NWSL.
She's just like, I don't give a fuck. Give me the teams.
You guys can't do it. You guys can't hack it. Give it to me. I'll do it.
I'll do it, but only for the attention.
I mean, fair enough.
The U.S. and Mexico are bidding for like a dual bid for the 2027 World Cup, which would be really great for us. Because as you might have guessed, us going to Australia and New Zealand this summer did not pan out due to so many different things, as we have mentioned in life. Doesn't mean that we won't be watching a shit ton of soccer and also talking about it endlessly, because we will be, so don't get too excited. But we will most definitely, if it's in the U.S. and Mexico, fuck yeah, we're going. Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to go to Mexico City and watch, which I think is where the final might be if they do it, because it's – also, I want – okay, listen. I have like – my stadiums in Mexico that I want to go to, the one in Monterrey is like incredible and I want to go to there, but the one in Mexico City, Azteca, is like one of the top like three soccer stadiums I want to go to ever. So I will be going to a game there. So help me God.
Yes. And after Anthony and I had time in Costa Rica, we are now very motivated to up our Spanish game. So, pura vida, as they say.
They sure do. They sure do. That's kind of their big thing.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, yes, next. We will be doing the road thing.
Next. The Utah Royals are coming back to the NWSL officially, and they have tapped their new head coach, former Utah Royals player, A-Rod. Who we love. Amy Rodriguez. Yes. Amy Rodriguez, former Utah Royal, former U.S. Women's National Team player, will be coaching the Utah Royals. Speaking of former Utah Royals, Becky Sauerbrunn is – that was a segue if I ever had one – is doing a podcast. Becky Sauerbrunn, Road to the Cup, is a podcast that will be put out by Men in Blazers. And the first episode is already out, so go listen to it. She's just going to be talking about – everything related to the road to the World Cup, as is in the title, Road to the Cup. Pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Honestly.
All right. The U.S. Women's National Team is set to play Wales in July in the United States. I got excited because I thought that they were going to play in Wales. And I was like, Anna, we should go to Wales.
I sure would.
It's in the United States, but it is cool that they're playing Wales. It's the send-off series before the World Cup. Speaking of stuff related to soccer.
crushing it. We're doing so good.
Excellent, excellent segue. Lynn Williams and Christine Sinclair this weekend got 60 regular season goals, which means that they are tied for second place still. They were tied at 59. Now they're tied at 60 for second place, only behind Sam Kerr, who has 77 regular season goals for playing in the NWSL, a league she hasn't played in 3 years, which just shows you the level of Sam Kerr. Like, it's insane. But good for them. Love them. And that milestone.
Yeah, because that's over the course of their career in the NWSL. And Sam Kerr got 17 goals in one season. She's outrageous. Anyway.
Totally.
Lynn Williams also recently hit 10,000 minutes played in the NWSL. And so did Caprice Didasco and Alex Morgan and Carson Pickett.
I kept seeing. I was like, oh, and another one. So I just kept tacking ands on.
I love that. Another one. In the words of, no, he doesn't deserve airtime.
Another one.
Yeah.
Major key.
Yeah. Okay, so not women's soccer related, but still soccer related. Wrexham FC has been promoted. This is the team that Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney invested in, and there's a whole TV show about, which is a pretty cool TV show.
Yes.
So go watch it. But it turns out if you invest in teams, they can do well.
Wow, this is news to me. I had no idea.
Because for reference, Wrexham FC was like on the fifth tier down, and now they're like on the fourth tier down. So just if you invest in the teams, then sometimes good things can happen. So maybe if we could invest more in the women's sports, then maybe good things could happen.
Speaking of women's sports.
Nice.
So it's not soccer related, but as per my segue, it is women's sports related. March Madness was dope as hell this year and had record viewership. I was one of those viewers for the first time. It was amazing. It's almost like if you broadcast it on accessible networks, people will watch it. And watch it they did. My God.
I sure did. I had it on my screens at work. And my coworkers were like, oh, what game are you watching? And then I'd like say the teams. They're like, I didn't know. I thought like these teams, like they'd mentioned two other teams. I thought these teams were playing right now. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't watch the men. Gross.
And shout out to YouTube TV, which I'm not usually inclined to do, but for having that multi-screen feature, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Like you could have like up to four games on at once. Amazing.
Yeah. Incredible. Also, speaking of March Madness, congrats to everyone at LSU for winning it all this year, except Kim Mulkey, who's trash and I hate her.
And her jackets. They can all burn.
And her jackets and
everything, general attitude.
everything about her. I cannot stand her.
Oh, I don't think you're alone in that.
No.
All right. Bethany Balser and Jess Fishlock both got a brace in yesterday's match against Chicago. They play for OL Reign, by the way. And so that is the first time two players got braces in a match in team history.
It's the first time two players have had orthodontia at the same time.
It is pretty cool because they had a 5-2 win over Chicago, so that's a pretty high-scoring game.
Yeah, and Fishlock is also the first player to record a goal in every NWSL season.
Wow.
She's outrageous. I love her. Kansas City, the Spirit, and OL Reign set some club attendance records for their home openers, which is dope as hell. Also, Kansas City has put out like their timeline over the course of this year for their stadium, which is pretty fucking exciting.
Pretty sure they've like broken ground and sold their first season tickets and all that stuff. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you live here, we'll go to games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you missed it. Western United in the A-League in Australia. I get so out of practice in Australia. We'll be going to the grand final next Sunday. They're going to the grand final next Sunday in their debut season, and they'll be playing against Sydney FC. But I thought that was cool as hell that they're going to the final in their debut season.
Yeah, it's giving San Diego Wave in their first season.
Yeah,
which definitely. You love. Speaking of Australia, the Matildas beat the Lionesses. Incredible. We love to see it. And the most important part of this to me, the Spice Girls watched. They were at Wembley. They were watching the Lionesses. Anyway, I was jazzed. Honestly, the Spice Girls knowing that women's soccer exists brings me a level of joy that I did not know I could have in my heart.
It's incredible. Incredible.
Incredible.
So I think some coaches and managers got sacked that needed to be sacked. And I say that because every article that France put out about Corinne Diacre getting sacked said the word sacked so many times. So Corinne Diacre is the French head coach. There were rumors, I think, the last time that we were recording the pod. And then she was like, I am very committed to this team. And then she got fired like a few days later. It was hilarious.
She got sacked.
Sacked. Excuse me. Sorry. My bad. And I think we may have mentioned some others. Pretty sure like Spain, Canada, like some major people in their soccer world. We may have mentioned it, but I don't remember and you don't remember. So it's fine.
We could go back and look at our notes, but we won't.
I didn't do that.
I won't be doing that. Yuki Nagasato, Chicago Treasure, broke the team dress code for traveling to wear a U.S. Women's National Team Nayer jersey for Alyssa Nayer's 35th birthday because she's iconic.
It was so cute.
I love her. The Bay Area will be getting a team and they will debut in 2024 with some high-powered ownership. So there's Brandi Chastain, Ali Wagner, Leslie Osborne, and Danielle Slayton, all former pro and U.S. Women's National Team players.
We love to see it. We love the expansion.
Incredible.
Okay. And so normally I feel like we would do like a sandwich of like tips, drops, tips.
We sort of will.
It's like, you know, when you get the end of the bread and it's like a really thin butt piece, like it's very, very thin. That's kind of what this sandwich is like. okay, so last of these tips. Sophia Smith is both the fastest and the youngest player to get to 25 NWSL goals at 22 years and 8 months old, and she did it in 41 games, which is incredible. So Kristen Press had done it in 42 games, and Mallory Swanson was like 24 years old or something like that. And Sophia Smith got her first professional hat trick against Kansas City, that very highly watched game. And she just like weaved in and out of defenders like it was fucking nothing. She is like so incredible. I love her so much.
I also have one more hat tip, which is not really like a specific hat tip. Well, it is. My hat tip is Maria Sanchez. That's it. Just her.
The tip.
She's incredible. That's it. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Now on to our drops.
Yeah.
I think I've decided that I would really like to stop editing the pod for a while because I loved putting it out the same day. It was so satisfying, which means that I would have to give up some of the sound effects, which I think just means that I will have to do on the spot sound effects.
I love that.
So
it's almost better.
On the spot sound effects, drum roll.
You need to get yourself like a soundboard so that you can like do it in the middle of it.
I do. I can be like a shock jock.
Anyway, drops.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. I know that was like a lot of laughter before something like very so upsetting. Everyone is hurt. And ACL and other knee injuries are just like fucking rampant right now in women's soccer. It is not good.
Yeah. And before I get into the list of all of the players who are injured, all of the particularly big name players that are injured, which is a bummer. There is a person who works for Arsenal talking about on Instagram somewhere. I don't know. Maybe we'll post it. We'll see. Talking about how in the women's game, they don't get strength training in the same way as the men do when they start playing at a young age and then are at like in more professional or academy environments at 18, like they don't get the same strength training. And so these knee injuries are a big problem as a direct result of that, because women get ACL injuries far more than men do.
Which is fucked.
But it's largely because of that lack of strength training. So players that are out and will be missing the World Cup as a result of this. Mal Pugh, who it's not an ACL. She tore her patella tendon. So it's like the same shit, just different color. Beth Mead, Leah Williamson, who just tore her ACL. Viviana Miedema, Janine Becky, Emily Gray. And I think there are – and like – I'm just going to tack this on now. Simone Charlie hurt her Achilles.
Yeah.
So she might – we don't know if she would have been on the World Cup squad, but she had the potential to be one of those players. She's
such an excellent player, and it's a detriment to Angel City for sure.
Yeah.
It's – not to mention that, like, Kristen Press is still recovering, Alexia Putellas, like – those people, those are like older injuries, but they're still huge names, and who knows if they will be ready. So it just feels like so many have been happening recently. It's insane. Something else that happened was that Matt Potter was the head coach for Kansas City, was sacked this week. It seemingly unexpectedly to players, though it does appear that some coaches knew what was happening.
Yeah, so Ella Masser, who used to play in the NWSL, has played in teams all over Europe, and is now a coach at Kansas City, posted something on Instagram about how she wouldn't be talking about like this whole situation, but it like mentioned that it was a decision that like a number of people had a say in, but based on things from players, that decision was not made or discussed with players at all prior to it happening, but like coaches might have known.
Yeah, like Lo Labonta like said, like I had like we had no idea, which is just kind of wild that happens. And you know, if it was for a good reason, like obviously we were all about that. We just don't know really the details of the reasons yet. And he was somebody who like kind of played under the he was like kind of under the radar as a coach, and obviously did well because they got to the final last year. But if he's shit, we don't want him. We just don't know what type of shit he did.
Yeah.
So, bummer. Womp womp. All right. Back to the tiny end of the bread. So, I, along with several friends, including Anthony, went to the U.S. Women's National Team game in St. Louis. I think this is the first time I've ever seen them play more than once in a year, which is very cool.
Yeah.
They played in St. Louis at City Park, which is the new MLS stadium. Also, surprisingly, St. Louis City SC, is doing very well this season.
Are they?
Yeah, they're like kind of doing really great. They were at the top of the table for a while. I think they've only lost two games so far. So, wow, their keeper is very talented. Anyway, men.
Gross.
So it was great. It was so fun. Excellent atmosphere. Becky Sauerbrunn is from St. Louis, and they did kind of like her like a celebration of her reaching 200 caps while in her hometown.
They're still at the top.
Wow, that is so cool. Who would have thought? Look at that, like Western United in their debut season. I'm sorry. I'm actually not.
Nor should you be.
But we also got to meet Lori Kolupny of U.S. Women's National Team fame, and pose, get a picture, a little pic with the World Cup trophy, the official World Cup trophy. And because of this, Anthony is now a super fan. And he was like deep diving into all kinds of stuff in the days after the match. And I was texting Anna. I was like, I think that we need to interview Anthony because he has learned so much stuff. I mean, the man researches for his job. I mean, so he knows how to do that. And he also knows how to hyper-focus, let's be real. Like, he just really lasers in. Even this morning, he was working on something. He was like, I'm in my focus mode. I was like, just kind of rubbing him on the shoulder, trying to be sweet. He's like, I love you, but I'm in my focus mode. We call it Jack Russelling because my parents, Jack Russell used to just like laser focus like on something, and like you couldn't bring her out of it, so we call it Jack Wrestling. Anyway, so we're bringing on Anthony to interview. So I'm going to text him to get him to come into the room.
I'm pretty sure I can pause the recording.
Oh, how fun is that?
So that. Okay, I pause now.
No one. Just like no one visits anything that we put on, which is okay.
That's not true. I think I interact with all of your content.
Okay.
Try to.
Yeah, and we're married, so that makes sense.
Yeah, let's tell you something. I interact with all your content, and I never, maybe like one time, visited the website.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Welcome back. And now we have Dr. Anthony Cabrera.
Ooh. Happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Our third guest.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've been sitting on that for a while. I can't take too much credit for that.
Well, we're so glad to have you with us, Dr. Cabrera. I think that it would be really great. So I gave a little bit of background about us going to the match, and it was Becky Sauerbrunn's
200 celebration.
Yes. He's so on top of it.
Wow, maybe it should be Anna and Anthony.
You're getting ousted from a job that doesn't pay you.
Was in Austin, it was Julie Ertz's 100 cat celebration, was it? Or was it not? Okay, cool. Man, I am crushing this.
Okay, so I was giving some background on why, and like on the game that we went to, and Anthony, you were very moved, I think, by Becky Sauerbrunn's like video and stuff like that. And so we'd like to, if you would tell us a little bit about like what exactly started your deep dive into this. And
yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know if Jillian told you, but we also got interviewed twice by people outside of the stadium. So Jillian and I, well, Jillian is an insiders member for USA Soccer, which meant that before the game, there was an area that was roped off specifically for USA Insider members. And we went around, we got some bandanas and koozies, some bottled water, met Lori Klepney, which was pretty cool.
Sorry.
Which was also kind of awkward because it was just like, what do you say? Like, you know, there were little kids that were there who said, and she was like, oh, you know, and she's a coach at Maryville University, which is a university outside of St. Louis down in the county. And, you know, she was getting excited and she said, oh, are you guys coming to camp? And they were getting excited. And then when Jillian and I, two adults, came up to her, I said, ah, hi, big time fan.
And she's like, oh, great. And we were like, we have a friend who goes to Maryville.
I knew it went south when she mentioned, wow, they really dialed up the weather for this one, didn't they? Oh, which signals to me, yeah, we have nothing to
get out of here, you 30-year-olds.
But yeah, so we went into the USA Insiders roped off area, and the first people that interviewed us were, I guess, two Australians or two Kiwis. The accents sound identical to me, but they were weirdly approaching us, and we would walk one direction and they would kind of tail us, and we didn't really know why. And eventually they said, I mean, they had a camera and a microphone, so I think they were trying to imply that, hey, we would like to talk to you. So eventually one of them came up to us and said, hey, we'd like to interview you. You know, we do a YouTube channel or a podcast or something. And they were, you know, just asking if they could interview us. And they gave us the questions up front, like, who's your favorite soccer player? Who do you think will be the first one to score a goal today? And the game against Ireland, and who do you think will win the World Cup? Just like three canned questions. I also hit the gritty because they asked me, what celebration will you hit when the U.S. scores its first goal?
So I said gritty. I'd push Anthony down, and then he did. They loved the gritty. They did not care that I would push him down. Out of excitement.
But that, you know, so I mentioned that, you know, who's your favorite soccer player? And I said, obviously, hometown hero, Becky Sauerbrunn. And, you know, so that got me thinking. And then somebody else not, I don't know, 200 paces later, started with the local news, yes, was asking, yeah, you know, if they could interview us. And so they asked a similar question, like, who's your favorite player? And I said, Becky Sauerbrunn, you know. But yeah, you know, we went into the stadium. They played that video celebrating Becky's 200 caps for the national team. And, you know, it just kind of felt like, you know, the crowd was really into it, and it was kind of a coming home celebration. And in my own way, I feel like, you know, I don't know, like, I'm a transplant St. Louisan, but I've been here for long enough where it just feels like home. And having somebody so celebrated, just, you know, in the country and globally as a, you know, just renowned soccer player, and I mean, just characterized on and off the pitch, was just really inspiring to me. And so, yeah, I just started, you know, we won that game that day 1-0. So that was also like, I don't know, a kick in the pants for me to just start exploring stuff. Like I had a really like work intensive task at work that week. And what I did was I kind of just put stuff in the background. Like I put podcasts in the background, or YouTube videos, like little clips from the national team, or stuff that would just in my YouTube queue would just start playing based on stuff I'd been listening to previously. So I started with, I just tried to get my hands on any recent Becky Sauerbrunn content. So like podcasts or little like videos that she recorded and stuff like that. I mean, I went like I think like 6 years ago she did, or 5 years ago, she did some recordings for like basic how-to soccer drills for Dick's Sporting Goods. And so I watched those. I also listened to her. She did a bit with the local news for St. Louis Public Radio. And she was talking about, you know, equal pay and using her platform for good and all this stuff. And then she also did a couple of podcasts with Men in Blazers with, she did it with Megan Klingenberg.
Megan Klingenberg. Neck.
So, you know, talking about equal pay and you know, again, using her platform. That's one thing that I really enjoyed, is that she loves to say, like, I've been given this platform for a reason, and I feel like I need to speak out and say my piece. And she, you know, penned an op-ed about, you know, trans athletes, just saying, you know, like, why, you know, just in full support of trans athletes. And so it's just really admirable to have somebody who is from St. Louis, the place that I now call home, who just, like I said, on and off the pitch, just a phenomenal person inside and out. And it seems like she commands the respect of all of her teammates. Like, I don't remember who the players are, but people on the back line who, you know, they kind of live, it's a, you know how, you know, a good leader is one who strikes both fear and love into you? I think Becky gets that out of the players that she plays with. Just like, I forget who the player was, I'm trying to remember, but like, you know, somebody missed, was tracking a person, or they were supposed to be tracking a person that they didn't. And Becky looks at them and said, "That was your person?" And the player was like, "Yeah." And then Becky was like, "Okay, then." And that's all she needed. That was all, like, that's, that, like, you know, just being able to say that is like, I
would shit my pants. I'd be so scared.
I fucked up. Yeah. So I watched a lot of that. And then, you know, then I just started watching all these little clips from the U.S. women's national team, like on their YouTube channel, just like from various camps from like years and years ago.
Well, this brings me to my next question, which is, could you give us your top three hat picks, if you will?
I won't.
For favorite things that you have learned since going into this deep dive?
Yeah, let's see.
I'm also sorry I'm coughing so much. I have a lot of cat hair on me, and it's getting in my mouth.
I mean, it's fine. I'm usually phlegmy, so, you know, one or the other.
Yeah, I'll just think of things that are most memorable in my mind right now. And so one of the things I was thinking about was, I watched the Snacks, or, you know, listen/watch the Snacks podcast where they interviewed Becky Sauerbrunn. For those of you plebs that don't know what the Snacks podcast is, I'm just kidding. But it's a podcast run by Sammy Mui and the incomparable Lynn Williams, who has scored 60 goals now in the NWSL. just rattling it off there. I don't know if that was a pick already.
They know.
Yeah, thanks, this Instagram. This is amazing. But yeah, you know, like, oh, I love how much Becky Sauerbrunn is an introvert and a cat person. And it's just like, I feel like sort of similar to her in that, you know, I feel like to be, you know, an effective communicator and an effective leader, you need to be able to be a good, you know, you just need to be able to communicate well. And, but you know, she loves to talk about how much she's an introvert. She loves to talk about how she's just a total bookworm, you know, like 3 books in a week, usually, or something like, depending on, I don't know, like if she's in camp that week, you know, or like if she's got like a lot going on. But yeah, I love that. That's like a more personal thing. She's just, you know, she's just more of an introvert, and that kind of, I kind of identify with that. I feel like when I need to communicate well, I can do it, but my happy place is just, you know, maybe just with Jillian, but nobody else. Like, I just like to keep
no
myself.
One else. Oh, and these don't, I mean, obviously they can all be about Becky Sauerbrunn, but they don't have to be.
The other thing, another thing I was thinking about, maybe number two, my second hat pick would be, I watched a Just Women Sports episode where Kelly O'Hara interviewed Abby Wambach. And so I got to kind of reminisce with Abby Wambach as she traced her career, like as a young, you know, the youngest of like 7 or something in Rochester, New York, all the way until, you know, I guess current, you know, even after she's done with her soccer career. But yeah, just hearing the grit, you know, hearing about how when she was, like, I mean, first, the reason she wanted to go to college, one of the reasons she wanted to be a great soccer player is because that was the only way that she was going to be able to get a full ride to college, because she didn't want her parents to have to worry about her, she didn't want her parents to have to worry about paying for her way for college. So she got, I think, 3 places that she was really considering, UCLA, UNC, and Florida, which is where she eventually went. But for some reason, UCLA, that didn't end up working out, or something happened that said she was like, I don't want to look into UCLA. But it was down to UNC and Florida. And UNC has a famous coach whose name I cannot remember.
Anson Dorrance.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And he...
This really should be y'all's podcast.
He mentioned that he was so proud. You know, he had a one-on-one conversation with Abby and said, you know, I'm so proud to offer you books. So maybe tuition, but just in addition to that, books, which is not full ride. Or maybe it was just books. And Abby Wambach, without missing a beat, said, I deserve a full ride scholarship. And Anson just said, I wish you luck wherever you decide to play. And, you know, I just thought, like, the fact that she had so much confidence in herself to say, like, I deserve a full ride. But apparently at UNC, it's known that you have to have, like, so many caps on the U23 team, or whatever the, you know, whatever the age group is, before you can earn a full ride at UNC. And she didn't have that. And she said, well, I know I deserve a full ride. I believe in myself. So she went to Florida, where she had her freshman year. The team was just stacked with seniors, and they went on to the championship game that year and beat UNC, which was just a big fuck you to UNC for not giving her a full ride, which I thought was great. And then she went on to have like a really great career at Florida. But yeah, just listening to, you know, just the grit and the grind and the belief in yourself that she could succeed was really cool.
This is all off the dome, folks. I mean, like, I have to take notes to remember things most of the time. It's incredible. Amazing.
Yeah, I don't know where this is coming from. I'm trying to think. I watched some Snacks interviews with Dahl Kemper, with Sofia Huerta. I'm trying to think of like other things that might have stuck out to me. But let's see. I mean, watching the national team is always fun. Oh, but you wanted to know my deep dive.
I mean, it's where. Fine. Whatever.
I need a third thing for rule of threes. I guess, you know, finding out that St. Louis had a team in the, not the Women's Soccer League. What was the league?
I think it was the WSL.
Was it called the WSL?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was fun because it was, we had a team that Lori Kolupny.
Or the WPS, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever the league was, Lori Kolupny was a captain for the team. And I did watch like a U.S. Women's National Team little tidbit where she was getting interviewed with somebody else, but in her game, she.
Heather
like,
O'Reilly.
Heather O'Reilly. What do they call her?
Heyo.
Like, Heyo. Thank you. But like, you know, Heyo had like, you know, like collided with her and injured her in that game, like in a game where Lori Kolupny is playing. I don't remember the name of the team.
St. Louis Atletica. And it was WPS.
Mm. Got it. Okay. I saw Anna's head down. I knew she was looking up something on her phone.
Nice. Yeah, I think that I really enjoyed hearing that we had a team. And I think if I remember the Wikipedia page correctly, Hope Solo was a member of that.
Yeah.
Which, who, you know.
And Shannon Box.
Yeah, Boxy. I don't know if that's what they call her.
It is what they call her.
Seems like it seems like a natural nickname to have. But, you know, just some names that I recognize on the roster for that year and a half before they ran into financial troubles or something.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. But yeah, we had a team. So maybe those are my top three. But yeah, I've just been, we were on vacation last week, so I haven't had as much time to consume content, but I've had a lot of fun just watching random stuff like the women's national team flying into Nashville before Nashville was cool, you know, and just like signing autographs for people, or the camp in like Santa Barbara, like a few years ago, or like where they had a camp. They had a camp sometime in 2021 where they were all masked up and stuff. Mm. And, you know, that was kind of wild to watch. Or was it 2020? Either one. I was just like, wow, they were, it might've been October 2020, but.
Oh yeah. Cause they did play in the Netherlands in November 2020, I think.
Yeah, I like that. It's really nice. Oh, one of the things that I loved watching, I don't know what camp it was from, but like a group of like Mallory Pugh, Sam Mewis, maybe Sonnet, and some other people were like singing Christmas carols to various people, like various people on the team and like the hotel that they were staying in. That was just, you know, so funny. It's so funny that like I'm thinking about all these things now, and you're asking me like what are my favorite parts of the deep dive that I did? And it was just like, they're all like just personal. Like they're not necessarily like, oh, this is like how good I am at soccer. It's all like just off the ball stuff or behind the scenes stuff that like kind of just shows me that they're people too, which is probably why I like, you know, those Just Women Sports and Snacks podcasts, is because they just talk about stuff that I can relate to as a normal human, not as like a professional athlete. So... Rupino too has a good snacks podcast that she did. I think it was pretty recent, but how it's just like, you know, the worst thing you can do when taking a penalty is like, it can be for a gold medal and you miss it and then everybody hates you and then that's it. That's the worst that can happen. And then like Sam and Lynn are like, what? Like that's, do you not see how awful that sounds? But, yeah, Pino's great.
Well, Anna, do you want to ask our last question?
Yeah. Our last question for our lovely interview is, what do you think is the barrier for men being more interested in women's sports?
Oh, that's a good question. The first thing that comes to my mind, which, you know, to be honest, I don't know if I have a great answer. It's just like, I think the
You're representing all men right now. Yeah.
I frequently ask Steven in our home, like, can you explain straight culture to me? Like, he's our straight man. Oh. Can you explain what's happening right now? So you're representative for all men here.
Okay. I wear this crown very lightly. I think that, you know, especially when I think about equal pay too, I think that there's just this perception that men are doing more work, or like they're playing at a higher level, so therefore they deserve more, like, you know, why would I watch something that is lesser? Like, I want to watch like the best possible thing. And I don't think I will get that from women's sports. And, you know, I think like when I watch soccer and I watch the men's, you know, men's side and women's side of things, like I don't know enough about soccer to be able to make the distinction that like, oh, you know, tactically, the men's stuff is way more advanced than the women's stuff, or, wow, that play was really athletic. I don't know if a woman could do that. Like, I mean, I see pretty amazing stuff from both the men's and the women's side. So I think, you know, I don't know. Like, I was thinking about like running like track or something, where maybe on average, like the top performers, you know, the top, you know, people who are competing at the Olympics are the best of the best. And maybe like on average, like their times for like, for example, like, you know, a 1,000 meter dash or something will be better than women. But like, you know, I haven't taken the time to think like, what is the difference between, you know, like the top performing man and the top performing woman? And even then it's like, is that like when I'm watching sports like that, or I'm watching any sports for which both I see men and women, I am not good enough. Like my eyes and my brain are not good enough to tell the difference between, wow, men are really doing it better than women. But I think my perception of men as a whole, again, for which I am speaking on behalf of all of them, is that I think that might be one of the biggest barriers. It's just like this ingrained idea that, well, women aren't going to do it better than men. Like if it's a sport, like it's always going to, you know, men's will be like top tier. And yeah, that's.
But how do we dispel people of that idea?
You know, it's just like anything in life, like, you know, taking a 10,000, you know, mile journey, it just begins by taking that first step. And I feel like those people who say things like that or have the idea like that have not taken the time to watch women's sports, just like to give it a fair shake, you know, not to like go in and like come in with all your preconceived notions and your biases, but just kind of just sit down, you know, kind of clear your head of all the stuff, all of your preconceived thoughts, and just watch, you know. And I think, you know, people would be surprised. Like before Jillian, you know, I'm again all men, I didn't watch women's sports. And I think, you know, if I hadn't met Jillian, I don't think I would be as engaged with women's soccer as I am now. And I think that it just takes watching it. And like when you watch it, it's a blast. It's a lot of fun. And I think one of the things that Jillian brought up to me when I started watching women's soccer is that there's no room for them to, you know, when they get fouled, to writhe around on the ground and, you know, try to, you know, get a penalty or a free kick off of that, because there's the perception that, oh, women are weak. Of course she's going to be on the ground rolling around or doing whatever, because, you know, inherently men are stronger. And like with that burden, you know, they have to, even if it's like super painful, like I think that they just have to get up and just, you know, resume playing, which I think makes the game more watchable, right? Because it's like, oh gosh, like
the drama of the men just like rolling and flopping.
Yeah,
like,
you know, one thing I'm thinking about is Mal Pugh in the Austin game, or you know, when they were playing Ireland in Austin, and you know, she initially like felt that pain. You know, she's on the ground, and then she got off the field. She kind of walked it off a little bit, and she got back on the field. And then she like, you know, after a little while, she got hurt again. But this time it's like, well, I literally can't move. Like I'm like trying to call people over because I am in so much pain. So like, it's like that level of, you know, I forget what the injury was. Is it anything?
Patella tendon.
It's just like this person like literally, you know, played until they could not play anymore, you know? And I'm not to say that, you know, men don't do that too, but like, you know, just women are just as tough, if not tougher. And so,
You're goddamn right. Yeah. Anna, were you going to say something?
I was. So I watch a lot of both women's and men's sports. Like I watch just as much men's sports as I do women's. And one of the things that I did not get into until I watched the women's version was I didn't give two shits about the NBA until I watched the WNBA, because the NBA is a lot of performance, right? Like people, there's a lot of, you know, throwing the ball down the court and they dunk when they can, obviously. But if you watch the WNBA, there's a lot more ball movement. You see the strategy that goes into how you play the game. And once you can see the strategy more laid out with less of a performance, you go back to the NBA and you can start to see those things a little bit more clearly, because you're not blinded by the big dunks. You're not blinded by the, you know, crazy three-pointers. You know, you're not blinded by like the things that still take skill, and that's no shade to that, right, but you're more aware of like what intentional ball movement looks like, what setting up a play, what good passes look like. You can see it more clearly because it's not just Steph Curry hitting another three. It's not just another dunk.
You can see how the, like watching the women's game, you can kind of see how Steph gets set up for, you know, those shots or something like that.
Right. You can watch them, you know, move the ball around. You can watch, you know, any big in the paint and like, what, like muscling through, you can see what all of that is, how that all gets set up in a way that before I was like, yeah, cool. LeBron James again, whatever, you know? But now I watch the NBA and I'm like, especially with point guards and small forwards, you see, you're able to understand and see a lot more of what makes what they're doing so skillful, because when you watch the women do it, you don't have as many bigs. Like you don't have as many people who can muscle through the paint to do what Giannis does, to do what Joel Embiid does, to do what we all wish DeAndre Ayton did, you know, like.
That sounds.
I mean, yeah. But like, that doesn't happen as much because you only have the Jonquil Joneses and the Brittany Griners. You don't like, there's not as many of them. So you don't have that performance aspect of it in the same way.
Yeah.
And so now I can watch the NBA and be like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I think that brings up a really great point. It's like when you're telling a man, so me, when you're telling them, you know, hey, you should watch women's sports, it's not like you're asking them to stop watching women or to stop watching male sports. It's like, why not, you know, watch women's sports as well? And, you know, you can sometimes have these revelations where it's like, wow, it's like complimentary. It's like, where I'm able to appreciate even more the sport that I really liked played by men, having watched, you know, the women's version of that. So I think there's something to that.
It reminds me of there's a Broad City episode where Alana is with, what's his name?
Blake Griffin.
And he talks about like watching the WNBA and like stealing some of their moves.
Yeah, no, so, absolutely. I think maybe, you know, bringing it back to the, you know, like how do you, you know, what is the barrier to men's sports? It's like, you know, watch women's sports. You just need to do it. But also, nobody's asking you to stop, you know, like,
right,
because you're watching the NBA, the WNBA doesn't prohibit you now from watching the NBA. You can watch both.
And I do wonder sometimes how often have like people who, I mean, men, women, they, thems, anybody who doesn't watch women's sports, like, have they ever tried? Have they ever attempted to watch? Or is it just like these preconceived notions, or just it's not as accessible as men's sports, you know?
I mean, if you think of like, so right now with NBA is in the playoffs, right? And how many channels is that on? You can watch it on TNT, you can watch it on TBS, you can watch it on ESPN, you can watch it on so many channels. But when it comes to watching the NWSL, you can watch it on CBS, or you have to pay for a separate subscription,
right?
Yeah.
And not all the games are on CBS either.
No. So,
or HBO to watch the US women's national team.
Yeah. So to ask people to get involved in women's sports, I mean, part of that is obviously if you build it, they will come, right? So like if we start watching that one game on CBS, then maybe they'll put more on there. But
absolutely. Yeah. You know, I was just, yeah, accessibility, you know, all this talk, it made me, in that deep dive that I did, there was also, because, you know, I watched a lot of Becky Sauerbrunn content that kind of recommended me some like Portland Thorns content, which also led me to the Sports Bra, which is a sports bar in Portland. So I watched an interview of the person who created that, who was like, I think they were a basketball player, or like, you know, really appreciated women's basketball. And they went into a sports bar with a group of their friends, and like, no, none of the TVs had the game they wanted. And they had to ask, you know, their server if they could put the whatever WNBA playoff game it was on the TV. And even like, she was like, or they were like, this was the most, it was the most fun I ever had watching a women's basketball game. And I couldn't even hear it. It was just subtitles. And they had such a great time watching this game. And so they, I think that kind of inspired them to create a space to make it more accessible to catch, you know, lots of women's sports. And so, yeah, and I totally agree. It's like, if you put, like, you two probably know the statistics better than I do about like how much engagement there has been in, for example, US women's national team soccer stuff, and how it, you know, rivals or is better than, you know, men's engagement. But yeah, I totally agree. Like, if you just see, like, just put it on more channels and see what happens. I think the interest is there. It's just, you know, nobody's brave enough to take the plunge.
Anna, are we going to start a sports bar when you come to St. Louis?
Yes, that is our new venture.
There you go. That'd
be sick. We will do a live recording of the podcast there every week. No, yeah. I lied. Whenever we feel like it.
Yes, thank you. I was like, that's a lot. No,
not every week.
In terms of, we're going to be owning a small business. So
we're going to be a little busy.
Yeah. Don't worry about some other things too. Yeah. But thank you again for having me on the show. I'm so happy to have been a part of it. Again, first time caller, long time listener.
So, one of our most consistent listeners.
Right. I think our only consistent listener. I think, to be quite honest, I mean, Z does, but Z's also been dissertating. So,
right.
Yes.
They have had a lot on their plate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
I guess we could just do our outro stuff.
Yeah. We've done the rest of it.
Follow us on...
Oh, yeah. We have social media. Whatever.
You know the drill.
There's an Instagram. Technically, we still have a Twitter, but I'll probably just delete it because I don't even... No.
Fuck you, Elon Musk.
Boy, howdy.
All right. Well, on that note... I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
And I'm Anthony.
We're going to invite you to do it.
Oh, all right.
Replay. Nope.
This is it.
And this has been
the Hat Picks Podcast.